welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return once again, ever triumphant. 7 days have passed, more Haunt Weekly in your ears. It is the circle of life these days, it seems. And if you wish to continue that circle of life, which you should, take a moment right now before we kick off this super interesting episode. Follow us on Facebook at Haunt Weekly, Twitter at Haunt Weekly. Find more all of our episodes at hauntweekly.com, and also tinyurl.com/hauntweekly will take you to our YouTube channel.
Yes.
Where you can actually go back through the entire history of Haunt Weekly.
Yes.
And watch lots of our good stuff there. Well, but it's just audio videos.
Right.
But,
you know. Play it in the background.
Let it ride, is my advice. It's actually really cool with the autoplay feature.
And if you're already subscribed somewhere, tell a friend that might like us too.
Yes, inform people. Let us know. Spread the word. Share. Like, share, and subscribe. I'm doing the YouTube stuff right, aren't I?
Exactly. Okay. I think those are all the right words.
All the right words. I think I said them all even in the right order. Well, on that note, everyone, this is episode 112. I checked with our resident mathematician.
Mm-hmm.
112 is divisible by 4.
Yeah.
That means it's time to do
the news.
And we're doing the news this week. And we're getting into some of the doldrums for the news.
Yeah. So it's a little bit scarce out there.
And it's kind of weird because this is we're getting to our third year doing this.
Right.
For the news. And it's a little weird because you would think that, like, the dead of summer would be the worst time for talking about haunted attraction news.
Right.
But it's not.
No, because that's when everybody's getting their permits to open up new places and things go bad.
You've got a lot of activity going on.
Right.
People are also promoting the new things they're building and preparing to open.
Yeah.
Halloween Horror Nights is announcing their sets. They start announcing,
right,
like in, like, May or something. They're like,
yeah.
They drip feed that stuff, and as someone that does a news episode once a month, I am super grateful for that.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's one of those things. It's like the entire industry, not just haunted houses, but the entire whole industry takes a break for a month or two after.
Yes, indeed.
Halloween.
And that's the part of the problem is this goes back a month, so we're covering all the holidays.
Right.
When there ain't a lot of news for much of anything, it seems.
No.
But still, we got a lot of great news coming your way. Some very interesting things have happened.
Yeah.
And we'll be discussing them. But first and foremost, conference reminders.
Yay!
I will kick off this week because I'm feeling like in a kickoff kind of mood.
All right.
Now, we're a warning, as we do every news episode, I have touched up the conference reminders, and we have extended another month. That's how I remember to do it, is every news episode I go through and at least touch the conference reminders.
Well, aren't you smart?
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
So, yes, there will be some minor changes. If you have gotten to where you can recite the conference reminders, you have been foiled, good sir or madam. You have been foiled. Probably not.
No.
On that note, coming up March 1st through the 3rd in Chicago, Illinois, it's The Maize, that's M-A-I-Z-E, Chicago Corn Party, at the Chicago Marriott Southwest at Burr Ridge. They have announced they are touring 9 different attractions.
Wow.
And they include, among others, Fair Oaks Farm, Gobert's.
Yes.
Coupler's Family Farm and Jonamac Orchard, among, like I said, 5 others.
Right.
This is basically the Haunt Tour Japes did.
Yeah.
But in conference format for corn mazes.
Right.
And having been in that region of the country not that long ago,
There's
enough corn to do this in.
There is. Yeah. It's a lot of corn.
Lot of fucking corn up there, guys.
So where can they find out more about this?
They can learn more about it at The Maize, themaize.com.
All right. Then March 22nd through the 25th, it's Trans World's Halloween and Attraction Show, St. Louis, Missouri at the America Center, pre-convention bus tour visiting Nashville Nightmare and Talon Falls, offers a voodoo soiree on Saturday night, and you can find out more about that one at HaShow, HaaSHOW.com.
Then after that, it's the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon, April 13th through 15th at the Doubletree Hotel, Portland. There will be touring in Milburn's Haunted Manor. Milburn's Haunted Manor also will include a costume ball, a silent auction, and the Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention with a film festival with a secret selection of films. They say it is a closely guarded secret. I just think they haven't picked them yet.
I don't know.
It's so closely guarded they haven't even invented it.
They don't even know. No, they probably
they
know.
Probably do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you can learn more at hauntersconvention.com.
All right. May 18th through the 20th, Halloween Show and National Haunters Convention presents Halloween Boardwalk Empire. It is going to be in Atlantic City, New Jersey at the Showboat Convention Center. Features zombie volleyball, a hearse show, a Mardi Gras-themed costume ball.
And much, much more.
You can find out more about that at HalloweenShow.com.
Yeah, I've got to say, I was on their site today, like I said, touching base on everything.
Yeah.
They misspelled Mardi Gras.
Okay. Because I see that note in here, and I'm like, no, that's right.
No. I spelled it right. They spelled it Mardi Gras. Or maybe Mardi Gras is a separate holiday.
Yeah, maybe Marty is a character, and he likes to gras.
Maybe. I didn't think of that. You know, maybe I'm the idiot here. But yeah, actually, looking at the site, looking at the conference, I gotta say, the coolest thing seems like everything to do around it.
Right.
The boardwalk it's on looks amazing. Then the hotel they're at absolutely looks like it kicks ass. So
yeah,
if you're in the area, this might be one to check out, if nothing else, and to see all that stuff.
Right.
All right, Midwest Haunters Convention, May 25th through 27th in Columbus, Ohio, at the Greater Columbus Convention Center. No, Lesser Columbus Convention Center for this conference.
Nope.
It features a masquerade party, a zombie walk, and a pre-convention bus tour with haunts still TBA. Learn more at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Now we're into new stuff.
New stuff!
June 22nd through the 23rd, Premier Haunted Attractions Tour and Education Series. It's in Ulster Park, New York. Super 8 Kingston, touring the Headless Horseman, and all 7 of its attractions.
Actually, technically, I found this out. It's actually like 10.
Well, you put 7 in the notes, so I said 7.
Well, no. See, the thing is, they have 7 haunted attractions, plus a haunted hayride, plus some other stuff.
Gotcha.
So, yes, it is technically correct to say 7 haunted attractions, but there's apparently a lot of crap to do there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does make a lot of lists, including ours, to visit.
Yes, it does.
Eventually. It's put on by Transworld Events. Full itinerary is TBA still. You can find out more when it becomes available at PremierHauntTourWith2Ts.com.
Yes, yes, yes. So that is what is going on. That's where your conference action is at. A lot of good stuff in the Northeast coming up, it looks like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're in that region, I would be paying attention, actually. Seems like a lot of neat stuff is happening. On that note, everyone, though, like I said, it is a number 4 episode. That means it's time to do the news. And like I also said, we're kind of in the doldrums here. So, anyways, this doesn't mean nothing's happening. There's actually a lot of very, very cool stuff happening. We're starting with 2 attractions making one opening and one making a pretty big announcement.
Yeah.
So, to kick this off, the first official Saw, as in the movie Saw series, yeah, escape room, just opened in Las Vegas. Now, how in the hell did this not happen sooner?
I don't know.
If you had asked me to name a horror movie that was custom built for an escape room,
right,
Saw would have been it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No way around it.
No.
Just no goddamn way. I don't think there's anything else that even comes close to being that, like, escape room ready.
Right.
But yes.
Well, I mean, it's built around puzzles.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's literally the theme.
Now.
Well, part of it.
And you know that it's a natural fit because there are so many unlicensed Saw theme escape rooms.
Yes, there are. We've
done one of them. The 5.
Don't know if it was licensed or not, but we have done one.
Well, this is the first officially licensed.
Well, then, yeah. Then that one wasn't.
That one wasn't.
I guess by, you know, that logic.
But anyways, it is in Las Vegas, like I said, and it begins with a tour of the Egan and Company Meatpacking Factory. Then you find out that this isn't no ordinary tour. You're being trapped with up to 11 other players And long story short, you have to solve the puzzle, Jigsaw's puzzles, to get out. It's fitting that...
Yeah,
seriously, an escape room with a villain named Jigsaw, come on!
Yeah.
I mean, do we have... This doesn't write itself anymore.
Yeah. They do specify that there's no physical pain...
Yes.
...involved in this.
But they may do things that will gross you out or test your limits.
Right. Exactly. Make you uncomfortable.
Which is similar to what they did... It wasn't a Saw-themed room.
Right.
But at Netherworld, their little 5-minute, 3-minute, whatever, minute escape room...
Yeah.
They did that.
Yeah.
Where you had to do things like stick your hand in a toilet and...
Right.
And then steam pipes and basically put your limbs where they don't belong.
Basically, yeah.
So long and short of it is, it's going to have that type of thing where you're going to have to overcome some things, internal things, in order to survive.
Now, watching the videos, it also looked like it had quite a few live actors in it. I don't know if that's the case or if it's just a promo video, but it seemed interesting.
Yeah, it did. And I got to say, Vegas has already become sort of a mecca for haunted attractions.
Yeah.
We really need to put Vegas on our city hit list one year soon, because it's A, got all these huge haunted attractions, but it's also becoming this big mecca for escape rooms. We've been seeing that, like a lot of these major escape rooms that have been opening in Vegas.
Right.
Either in the hotels or with the haunted attractions that are there.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's because Vegas is such a huge tourist town. You have a constant influx of new people there. It makes me wonder why New Orleans doesn't have a slightly stronger escape room culture, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, we have a few, but it's not like that.
We have good ones. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like mortuaries escape rooms a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple that do cater to tourists, but let's just be honest. We don't have anything like what's going on in Vegas.
No. Yeah.
And honestly, at least one of the escape room companies we have, I think we could do without.
I'll just leave it there.
Leave it there.
Walk away.
Accept my rightness and move on. That's the best thing to do in life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so yeah, it makes perfect sense that Vegas would be this kind of haven for this. And, you know, I gotta say, watching the videos, reading about it, I'm super curious to try it out sometime.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, I'm not super excited about the fact that you can have up to 12 people, though.
No, that seems a bit excessive. But maybe it's necessary. Maybe it's a big enough area. And a warehouse factory seems like it's big enough for 12 people to be in and not feel claustrophobic.
Yeah.
So
maybe. Who knows? All right. Moving on to Blake's Orchard, which is near Detroit. I don't know enough about the region to tell you where, but Blake's Orchard and Cider Mill will now be open year-round. Now, this is from the Detroit Metro Times here. The long story short, this place has been in operation for 72 years.
Yeah, it's been around.
Basically, it's a place that is known for the pick-your-own-fruit type stuff and, you know, for having a cider tasting room.
Right.
Where you can go and get all kinds of yummy, yummy apple cider, alcoholic and non-alcoholic, mm-hmm. supposedly. Basically, they've traditionally closed off-season,
mm-hmm.
i.e. winter, I suspect, would be their non-season,
because
it's Detroit. They ain't no tourists.
Right.
Only mad bastards go to Detroit in winter on purpose. But anyways, they have now announced that they will be opening up year-round with new hours beginning January 21st. So basically, they're opening up... They're opening today.
Yeah.
We're recording this on the 21st.
Yeah.
You'll be seeing it on the 22nd. Ha ha!
Right.
We're reporting from the past!
Yes.
Aren't you always reporting from the past?
Exactly.
Anyways. But what's interesting about it is the place is also very well known for having a large haunted attraction.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to include this because at HauntCon, I was at the panel on haunted farms.
Right.
And I was really worried when I went to that panel, because I went there because I knew a lot of the people on it. I knew, like, three out of the four people.
Yeah.
Three out of the people on it I knew. So it's like, yeah, I kind of feel like I got to go. But I'm like, I don't run a haunted farm. There's only one haunted farm in the area.
Yeah.
It could be good.
It could use some help.
Could use some help. Maybe it needs their help. Maybe they should talk to them.
Maybe.
Hook them up, right? Maybe we should do the hookup there. Mm-hmm. But, so it's not something really relevant to me in my haunt life.
Right.
But it ended up being one of the most interesting panels at HauntCon for me. It ended up being something I really thought about at Mull. And one of the points they drove home repeatedly is how haunted attractions and aggro entertainment, which is a terrible word to try to say out loud, it, just, mm-hmm. it rolls off the tongue like marbles. But basically, aggro entertainment has been saving a lot of family farms.
Yes.
And they talk in this article about how they had a lot of hard years, a lot of dark times, but their fans and their supporters came out and to the haunted attraction and other things there. And basically now they're able to stay open year round. Not only are they stable, but they're growing.
Right. Which is really good.
That is amazing. And you know, I think that's the best thing I got from that panel was just how crucial haunted attractions have been at saving a lot of these smaller family farms.
Right.
Because they hear all the time about these farms that have been in families for generations, but just the pressures of farming and the challenges of being a small farm in a mega farm universe
mm-hmm.
Is catching up to them. So they open up a haunted attraction or a corn maze or something, and they get the cash they need to stay alive, continue farming, and basically keep the farm in the family. It's great. So, and this place reminds me a lot, from the looks of it, reminds me of Eckert's Fun Farm.
It does. It looks a lot like that. Looking at the article, it's not clear whether or not the haunted house will be open year-round with the
I don't think the haunted house will, but...
No, I think it's just a fall thing.
But obviously having that extra revenue stream is a big part of why they're able to open up year-round.
Exactly.
Even though they know at least a few of those months are probably not going to be profitable.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And, you know, we talk about the good things haunted attractions can do and how it can help, how we help people. This is one of the ways that we often overlook.
Yeah.
We don't talk about this a whole hell of a lot. Maybe we should, is that, you know... We're largely family-run businesses. There aren't very many megacorps.
Yeah, there are some.
There are some, but not very many.
There are some, yeah.
There are some, but not very many. Most attractions are still locally owned and operated. And
yeah, there are typically three tiers, as we like to point out,
Yeah. But this one really is interesting, and I'm very, very happy that they feel comfortable now expanding. And if I'm ever in Detroit... I'm going to have to swing by Blake's Orchard and check out some of their cider.
Yeah.
Not really a cider fan, though.
No, but Ellie is.
Ellie, we can take Ellie, yeah.
Yeah.
She'd enjoy it. Exactly. Let me just leave her there. We'll go visit someone else. Bye, Ellie!
No.
We would not do that. We would do that. Okay, on that note, everyone... From a haunt that from an expansion to one that unfortunately is closing. This one actually made me very sad. I'd never heard of this one until now, but it sounded really interesting reading the article about it.
Yeah.
Long story short, Johnston Barn in Half Moon Bay, California, has closed its doors.
Right.
Now, basically,
We're actually familiar with Half Moon
Bay. We're getting there. We're getting there. It's in the bottom. Long story short, though, is they had a barn that the Young Actors Workshop in the city would operate a haunted attraction out of every year. And they do it for the two nights during the Pumpkin Carving Festival.
Yay, pumpkin carving.
They had a fictional character named Captain Howdy, which I'm not sure about the name, but apparently it was really scary. You know what? I'm going to say this. I actually think that's creative, having your scary character name something... almost innocuous.
Like Fluffy?
Yeah.
Like
naming a growling pit bull Fluffy. It's great. I actually like... You know what? I take that back. I am very certain the name is awesome.
I'm very certain the name
is awesome. But long story short, they lost the lease to the barn, and they had to spend the entire holiday season dismantling it. And that really sucks. While most of us were enjoying Christmas and New Year and all that, they were busy trying to clear out before January 1st.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It does.
But they managed to get everything cleared out, and it most likely will become a museum. Now, if the name Half Moon Bay sounds a little familiar to you,
yeah,
it's probably because it was the town featured in Birdemic Shock and Terror.
Yes, it was.
And furthermore, the festival they go to on their date in that movie,
right,
is and did not get permits to shoot at, is my understanding.
Yeah.
Was the Pumpkin Carving Festival.
Yep.
So I'm going to go back and rewatch Birdemic at some point, or at least that scene, and see if there's a glimpse of that barn anywhere in the festival.
Yeah, I believe there is.
I think there is. I think I remember.
And I think that whenever the bus is parked outside,
yeah,
it may be parked out in front of that yeah area.
Yeah, I've got to check that out because this, it was very interesting to see this mentioned.
Oh, that means we have to watch it again.
Oh, God.
We've only seen it like 6 times.
Only 6? Didn't we see the sequel, too? I thought we saw it once, yeah.
I don't know. I might have blocked it from my memory.
I would not blame you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Johnson Barn, unfortunately, is closed. They do not know where they are going to go, if they're going to open up another attraction elsewhere. But either way, it's a sad day. And I've got to say, it's kind of interesting to open up a haunted attraction for a pumpkin coming. It's an October festival, obviously. It's a fall festival. But not at Halloween.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, actually. I think it's a pretty cool thing to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you recognize the name of the town and you recognize the barn, that's probably from where. So yeah, we'll rewatch that scene at the very least. We own like 5 copies of it, so.
No, I think we just own the digital.
Okay, but we can rewatch it and we will see if we can catch a glimpse of the barn in there. It's a very distinctive looking barn.
It is.
I don't think it'll be any problem telling what it is.
No.
But this raises the question, what the hell is up with Half Moon Bay?
I think Birdemic killed it.
I think Birdemic is... because we've had other news from Half Moon Bay on this podcast.
We have.
And I don't understand what the deal is. It's like this. It's a town that's not that big.
No.
It's a very, very small town, all things considered. But yet it seems to crop up everywhere since Birdemic.
Yeah, well, I think it's just on our radar now. Because it has an association.
Fair enough.
So.
All right. Well, our next item up for bid. HauntCon is in the books, as we have discussed. HauntCon 2018, I should say, is in the books.
Yes.
But the organizers sent out an email to those who went and attended the conference and were otherwise on the mailing list.
Right.
Announcing their plans for next year.
Yes.
First off, they do have the dates for next year. It's 2019. It'll be January 25th or 27th. And it will be in the same place, the Ernest Memorial Convention Center, right here in New Orleans. Obviously, we're going to go.
Yes. We will try to better coordinate something before and maybe during the conference,
yes,
for those who want to
meet up
and hang out and stuff.
Yeah, we got tweets and some Facebook messages and things from people. Like, yeah, we were at HauntCon, we didn't see you. I'm like, well, we were there. I
mean, yeah, we were there.
We were there, but we put on an event. Yeah, we put on an event, and I was speaking at two talks. I mean,
right.
I would have been, but still, I understand.
Anyway.
But I do understand it was a big show floor. It was a big place. So it's completely possible, even easy,
to
miss someone.
Well, yeah, because there were people that I was looking forward to meeting in person that I didn't see, and I know that they were there because they were also doing demos and stuff. So
yeah, so we get it. But yeah, next year we'll try to fix that little problem.
Yeah.
But what was interesting about the press release is that they said they are planning on doubling in size next year for HauntCon.
Right. And do you know what they're doubling? Are they doubling attendance? Are they doubling the size of the floor? Are they doubling?
That part was not clear. Are they doubling the amount of education they offer? Are they doubling?
Yeah. But they're doubling.
They're doubling something. Well, and here's the thing. According to Halloween and Party Expo, which is co-located with it, they had already greatly expanded the trade show floor. Now,
right.
I don't know, because they said they added like 17 new vendors to the HauntCon, something like that.
Right.
I can't remember what the exact amount was. It was more than 10, less than 20.
Yeah.
Basically. I can't remember how many, but it didn't feel significantly bigger than previous years we've gone.
No. It didn't.
HauntCon's a pretty... I mean, honestly, for all the knocks it takes for being, like, the second tier of haunted attraction conferences, it's a fairly big conference.
It is pretty big, and...
I mean, I recognize it's nowhere near the size of Trans World, but...
Right. And I really enjoy the education side of HauntCon. And comparing... If you do some comparison shopping, you're going to get better... value for the education.
Yeah.
At HauntCon.
Yeah, my advice is if you want to go to HauntCon, get on the mailing list now.
Yeah.
Just do it today. Just go to HauntCon.com, add your mailing list, and get in there. Because what's going to happen is, now that they've got the date already,
right,
I can almost guarantee you you're going to have codes going out sometime, you know, over the summer at least.
Yeah.
That'll give you significant discounts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're interested in seeing what they double.
Right.
But that's the other thing. It's like, okay, you want to double in size, but is it really you that decides if it doubles in size? Yeah. Isn't it the vendors and the attendees?
Yeah, it is.
I mean...
But they did say that they had record-breaking sales years.
Yes.
From the retailer side. So that was good to hear.
Yeah. And I absolutely believe it. It was... The Halloween Party Expo site, it was a bit weird because I spoke with our friend Andy was there, and she had gone to it previously. She runs a shop,
right?
Well, not currently. She's in between storefronts right now.
She's looking for a place.
She has a shop, like the stuff for a shop,
right?
But not the place for it yet. And she's looking to open up very soon.
Yes,
but so she actually, you know, is the type of person who buys the wholesale stuff,
right?
And she said that it felt quiet to her on the trade show floor.
Yeah.
Compared to previous years. But the thing about that isn't something I've had to learn with my site and my business is, okay, well, it's really, really great to have 40,000 people come to your site and read your work and all that. If none of them buy your services,
right,
it's ultimately not worth much.
Yeah. And since we haven't been there to that specific area in the past... We don't know if maybe it was more spread out, so it felt less crowded.
Yeah.
Or if there was actually less people, you know.
But they did report record sales.
Yes.
And they were planning on doubling in size next year. So, go ahead.
And if you go next year, be sure if you see vendors that you want to buy from to ask them what their lowest minimum is.
Yeah.
Because it was surprising how low it would go, and you don't have to have a 10 number to buy from a lot of them.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, you bought a lot of gothic clothes.
Yeah.
Really cute gothic clothes. And the place had, like, a $100 minimum.
We mentioned this. Yeah.
So you can oftentimes get in, even if you're not wholesaling.
Right. And that was one of the places that did not have the sign that said they were retailer-friendly.
In fact, I don't think you bought anything from the place.
I did not. But
you bought a lot of stuff.
But I bought a lot of stuff from three different places.
Yeah. Well, anyways,
so
point remains, HauntCon says they will be doubling in size next year. Whatever the heck that means, I'm not 100% sure.
I'm sure we will find out at HauntCon.com.
Yeah. I wanted to put that in this because we were talking about it.
Yeah.
When we both got the email, and it was like, how?
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, what are you doubling? It's not entirely clear.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I wanted to put this in the notes. I wanted to talk about it. So, that way, next year, we will be following up, I guess.
Yep.
All right. Well, speaking of conferences making moves, Chattacon, which is not a conference I had heard of.
No.
But they are moving to the Chattanooga Hotel in their 43rd year. I mean, 43 years of a conference is pretty good.
It is.
Basically, Chattacon is an annual, and they can call it annual because there's more than one.
Yep.
Sci-fi and fantasy convention in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They've been previously at the Chattanooga Choo Choo Terminal Station. I wish I was making that name up. Sweet baby Jesus.
That sounds like a fun place.
It had better be the most fun place in the universe with that name.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I'm never going there.
No.
I cannot look someone in the face and say, oh yeah, I was hanging out at the Chattanooga Choo Choo Terminal Station. I just can't. I'm a grown-ass man. This doesn't work. But no, they're moving back to the Chattanooga Hotel where they were previously. It said it's an attempt to have in a more intimate location.
Right.
They previously had about between 600 and 800 people, and that's what I mean, they're expecting this year. Mm-hmm. So, very, very cool. And, you know, I don't know anything about the Chattanooga Choo Choo Terminal Station.
Well, I'm looking at pictures now.
And?
There are trains, obviously.
I would hope so.
It's interesting. There's lots of little trains. It looks like a streetcar system or a railway system. It looks like a streetcar.
Does it look cavernous?
It is, yes.
It's quite cavernous?
Yes.
Well, then
I would say that looks cavernous.
That looks quite cavernous. And that may be, and then maybe the move is a good one then, because I've been to conferences that were in places that, I mean, because 6,800 people is a pretty decent size for a conference, especially right. A small local conference.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're not talking about
right.
Comic-Con LA or San Diego or anything like that. You know what yeah. I mean? We're talking about Chattanooga, Tennessee here. I've been to conferences that size that were in places that maybe from a square footage perspective was pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
But because it was open and airy, you never felt like you connected with anyone.
Right.
You always felt like you were in and around 600 to 800 people.
Yeah.
And that's just overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's a good move. All right. Now, next up, this is not actually a news article as far as I'm concerned, but it was a very interesting representation of our industry in the United Kingdom here.
Yeah.
In the BBC. Elizabeth Hodson of the BBC wrote this one. And the headline for the article is Why the Horror Industry is Becoming a Profitable Genre. And really, it never actually answers that question.
Yeah. It doesn't.
Not in any meaningful way. But anyways, it starts with a look at the growth of the haunt industry in general and begins with a very interesting sounding attraction in the UK where you spend 2 to 3 hours in an abandoned shopping mall being chased by zombies.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. If, you know,
uh-huh.
if we're ever in the area that it's in,
yeah,
it might give it a go.
Basically, you pay like 100, I think it said £119, so like $160 or so.
Yeah.
And you're just locked in there for 2 to 3 hours.
Trying to survive from zombies.
Yeah. And the article described people running up deactivated escalators and
uh-huh.
you know jumping over banisters and things like that. Hopefully not from the first to the second, the first floor.
But hopefully not.
Hopefully not. But you know, trying to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like a lot of fun. Then of course they talked about fucking McCamey Manor because
yeah,
what news coverage of our industry is complete without it?
Yeah,
which is weird, because this is an article about the haunt industry becoming profitable, and McCamey Manor is not profitable.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, God. Anyways, so yeah, that happens, and I just will kindly skip that section.
Yeah.
And it concludes by looking at the movie It.
Right.
And its record-breaking. And interestingly enough, we all knew that It was the most profitable horror movie of all time, or had the highest
right.
box office take of any horror movie. But The Exorcist would have made more if you discount inflation.
Or if you account for
inflation. Or account inflation, you know.
Yeah.
It would have made more, yeah. which I thought was interesting.
It is interesting. And, you know, we noticed a big spike in traffic to our haunt
yeah.
this year because of It.
Yeah. Well, it was a perfect storm. I think we've mentioned it in other episodes, but it was a perfect storm. It was a huge phenomenon.
Right.
And it was kind enough to enter the box office and exit the box office right before season.
Right. And they did those beautiful, you know, social media campaigns leading up to the release.
Yeah. They really, yeah, it did a really good job of getting people interested in horror. And I also think we should be grateful too for Get Out.
Right.
As a horror film.
Because definitely.
That reached a whole new audience that horror films don't typically go to. And a,
right.
You know, so I think it was a great year for horror in terms of just public excitement and also getting audiences that didn't typically go to horror movies.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Because, yeah, Get Out, I think, reached non-horror fans a lot.
Yeah.
Because it was an intellectual movie. It was an SJW movie. It had, you know, right. a lot of political points. Stuff that horror doesn't always do very good with, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And so people that liked that stuff in their movie weren't going to go to a lot of horror movies.
Right.
But they went to Get Out.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, that was the thing, too. I think it was the perfect storm for a great haunt season. And I'll be interested this year, if we continue the increase that we've seen, because most haunts reported an increase last year.
Right.
That was something else from the farm one, was they announced that they all, pretty much across the board, they reported increases.
Right.
If we see a continued increase, if we plateau, or if we go down.
Yeah.
Because ideally, I would like, kind of like the plateau, because I don't think we can keep increasing. Well, here's the reason. Because you typically, there's no it in 2018. The
yeah.
next one's coming out in 2019. So that'll be our next chance to see another outside bump.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to see, if we do increase, it won't be, I think, as much as we did last year.
Right.
But if we plateau, what that says is that we got this new audience, they came into the door, and they liked what they saw, and they came back.
Right.
That is good.
That's good.
That's really good. And then we can get more bumps as other things, you know, impact the industry.
Right.
Because that's the thing, we're kind of susceptible to outside forces.
Yeah.
In this industry, more so than a lot of industries are, because things like it can just shove people into our doors. And things, you know, like concerts and film concerts and festivals can pull them away.
Yeah.
We are very vulnerable in that regard. Mm-hmm. So anyways, but it ends up concluding, and the best attempt they make at answering the question about why it's profitable is by saying that horror industry is low investment, making it low risk and high potential reward. And I put it in the notes. Yeah, I got some haunters that want a word with you.
Yeah, that low investments, that's not accurate.
Not for haunted attractions here. Maybe it is true for the UK.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, okay, fair enough. All you had to do was, you know, buy a dilapidated shopping mall and throw some zombies in it.
Yeah.
I guess that might not be super high investment.
Yeah. Well, and that might be part of the reason that Vegas is such a hot spot right now.
Yeah.
It's because they had some trouble with bubbles bursting.
Yeah.
And property losing value.
Yeah.
You.
Then there's access to property cheap, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is always interesting because I talk to haunters who are trying to find places, and they always report the same thing. They mm-hmm. find these big empty properties. They've been empty for
right
forever. And the owners don't want to sell or lease on even remotely favorable terms.
Yeah.
Because they're hoping for some kind of revitalization project down the road. It's just cheaper to hang on to it.
Yeah. Which, to me, that's money lost.
Yeah.
I mean, you could at least lease it and get something that's
yeah.
better than nothing for years.
Yeah, part of something that's better than all or nothing, man. I'm just
yeah.
telling you straight. Anyways, moving on. Other stuff. Happier stuff. We have happy stuff. Trick or Treat Studios
mm-hmm.
has released their 2018 catalog, and it looks pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
TrickorTreatStudios.com, if you are inclined to check it out. Long story short, these guys are best known for their high-quality licensed products. They specialize in doing things from actual horror films.
Mm-hmm.
New this year, new additions include Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3 masks, American Horror Story Cult masks. I'm not familiar with those masks. I didn't watch American Horror Story. And stuff from the Child's Play series, including new costumes, and apparently for the first time, really realistic Chucky dolls.
Yeah.
How was that not a thing previously?
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm actually on their site now. They also have the Krampus
pet
mask.
They have all kinds of neat
yeah.
stuff. So yeah, it's a really, really cool catalog. It's not something I think haunters are going to buy for their haunts.
Yeah.
Because you don't use copyrighted and trademarked characters in your haunts, kids.
Right. And I have actually watched the American Horror Story Cult.
Yeah, what, season. Are the masks cool?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Oh, damn, that messed
yes.
up, man. That dude's wrecked.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. There you have it, folks. But yeah, the masks look really, really good. And these, my understanding is you'll probably see these in stores near you.
Right.
Because they specialize, like, wholesale to higher-end retailers. I don't think Spirit has it.
Probably not. I
yeah.
don't know.
But it's really an interesting collection. I definitely say you should check out the full catalog. It's actually surprisingly small. It's only, like, 40-odd pages. But
yeah.
man, is it loaded with some cool stuff, though.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, God, the Alice Cooper mask. Oh, that's badass.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, apparently they have the number one... I'm reading their their wholesaler page. Mm-hmm. I have not heard of these guys, probably because they do wholesaler. But they apparently were the number one selling mask line in the Halloween industry for 6 years running, from 2011 to 2016. Who beat them in 2017, I wonder? Or maybe they just haven't updated.
Maybe.
Yeah, but long story short, they're very, very cool masks. I'm sure you're going to see these in stores near you. So basically, expect some realistic Chucky masks and the American Horror Story cult mask and then Texas Chainsaw mask for 3 masks. Mm-hmm. Should be pretty cool. It looks awesome. This stuff looks great. Mm-hmm. I mean, for masks that ultimately end up at retail,
right?
Pretty goddamn cool.
Yeah.
All right, and wrapping up things this week, we have a lot of Halloween news in terms of Halloween the movie.
Right.
A lot happened this past month, and I'm kind of trying to parse all of it.
Because there are several articles about several different aspects.
Yes. The first thing to note is that there was a early draft of Halloween 6, or I should say Halloween 666.
Uh-huh.
That's the actual title they were going to call it.
Yeah.
Was released. And basically, Halloween 6 was widely panned and hated. Right. I don't even remember it. I'm sure I've seen it. I'm sure I don't care either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But basically, it could have been even worse by all accounts.
Because
it would have featured a homeless Michael Myers, a high-tech virtual reality Ouija board, and a Samhain curse. That's why Michael Myers is invincible, and it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
Yeah.
Luckily, they didn't go with that script. They went with one that still was widely panned, but here you go. The next thing you were going to mention was... Okay, you had the thing about Halloween 2.
Oh, that it's going to be in the loved location.
Yes, that was it. Thank you. I couldn't remember.
Okay.
They have returned to the original location. Thank you.
You put me on the spot, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yes, there is an actual new Halloween sequel coming out.
Right.
And it will feature the original location and be part of that. So it's going back to its roots a little bit.
Exactly.
And further going back to its roots, John Carpenter is producing it.
Yeah.
So that is a good sign for it as well. Because John Carpenter bowed out, I think, after Halloween 3?
Yeah.
I think so. And, yeah, you might notice that the ones after that were not instant classics. We'll just say that.
Yeah. That's fair.
But anyways, we're on that note, though, they're saying the new Halloween sequel will likely be out October 18th or 19th, somewhere in that range is what they're looking at. I don't think there's been an official date announced. I've seen multiple potential likely dates. And that is important for us to note because that is middle of season.
Right.
A major horror movie release during season could be hurtful, actually. As people might choose to go to a movie rather than an expensive haunted attraction.
It's possible.
It's, you know what? And here's the thing. We always talk about how... We don't like to compare ourselves to movies because a movie is $10 to $15 for a 90-minute to 2.5 hours of time.
Right.
Meanwhile, a haunted attraction is usually between $15 and $35 for less than half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the time and entertainment, it's a bad deal if you look at it from that perspective. So, people who are trying to save money, people who are, you know, not maybe fully appreciating what haunted attractions do, will likely go to a movie instead of go visit a haunted attraction. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily everyone that's going to, you know, that goes to Halloween is a customer we lost. That's not true at all. But it's something to think about in terms of, you know, where our customers might be going. Because remember, the competition for your haunted attraction isn't the other haunted attraction.
Right.
People can routinely visit multiple haunted attractions.
They do.
The competition is the other things they can be doing that night other than going to haunted attractions.
Exactly.
It's that music festival. It's fucking Voodoo Fest here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Every goddamn year. It's that music festival. It's that concert. It's going to the movies. It's all that stuff. That's what the competition is for haunted attractions. And so keeping an eye on the film releases in October is a very, very important thing to do. And I'll be interested. I'm going to go ahead and predict it now that we're going to see Halloween Horror Nights doing something Halloween themed.
Right, I do too.
I would be shocked if they didn't. But we will see how that goes. Now, you had another film.
Right.
The Winchester was the one. Yes.
Yes, the Winchester.
We want to talk about. It's not in our show notes, but we got a few extra minutes here, so yeah. It makes sense to talk about it. And we were actually talking about before we started recording that we did our haunt bucket list episode, the haunts we want to visit. Maybe we want to do, and sometime in the next few weeks, we got the next couple of episodes lined up pretty much.
Right.
But we want to do one about haunt adjacent places we want to go to.
Yeah. And Winchester Mansion is definitely on my bucket list. Has been for a long time. Yeah. The show comes out February 2nd. It was shot on location, so you get to see the house inside. Yes. I am so looking forward to that.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a very, very interesting. It seems like it's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, because it deals with, you know, Winchester's
widow. The Winchester movie. It's a movie, right?
Yeah.
Not a TV show.
Yes.
Sorry. Just to be clear, it's a movie. It's getting a release February 2nd. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually very curious about the film. I've been fascinated by the Winchester House
mm-hmm.
for a very, very long time, ever since I first heard about it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, if you haven't heard the story, I don't know how you didn't.
Right.
But basically, the Winchester widow, was absolutely convinced the ghosts of the people killed by Winchester rifles were coming for her.
Yep.
So she built the house in absolutely cuckoo ways, with stairways that lead nowhere, doors to nothing.
Right.
Because ghosts are confused easily, apparently.
Exactly.
So the idea was to... And didn't she get this idea from a psychic that came and visited her or something?
I don't know where she got the idea, but I do know that she was terribly afraid of evil spirits and built an enormous mansion with all these twists and turns to avoid them.
Yeah, so it's actually really fascinating, and it looks like a very cool house. The photos I've seen of it have always, you know, made me curious.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be a cool movie. We might have to go check that one out in theaters.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of interesting horror movies coming out, though, lately. It's been a good season for horror movies, and I've missed nearly all of them.
Yeah, I know.
Because I think the problem is they're all too good for me.
Yeah.
We didn't get our start with this by doing garbage horror for nothing, all right?
Right. We weren't watching.
If we can't find it in the part of an 8 DVD, Hey Movie DVD pack in a $5 bin at Walmart, we're not interested.
Yeah. Except when we are.
Except when we are, yeah. So that the Winchester one may be one we actually go check out in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if the reviews say positive things about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we can just hang out and get it on DVD and look at the pretty pictures of the mansion and the special features.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah. All in all, another film to keep an eye on, but that one will not be interfering with haunt season. It comes out in February.
Right.
And speaking of other horror-related things, Hotel Transylvania 3 is coming out in summer. I found that out today.
Interesting.
Interesting timing, isn't it?
Yeah.
A movie all about horror, all about monsters and Halloween stuff, coming out in the dead middle of summer.
Right.
But, summer blockbuster season, I guess it makes some degree of sense.
Yeah. Well, and it's a family movie.
It is a family movie, yes. I haven't seen 1 and 2 yet. We should actually check it out.
Yeah,
I've heard positive things about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's made list of good family.
Yeah, it's absolutely pretty entertaining. Oh, anything else to add, Crystal? I think we're just about done, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's it.
We can wrap it up a couple minutes early. No harm in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, everyone, thank you again for whiling away the past 50-odd minutes with us. We greatly appreciate it. We enjoy welcoming you in to the studios here at Haunt Weekly headquarters. The tower. The giant tower. One-story tall tower. Definitely do take the time. Visit us at hauntweekly.com. Follow us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly. Follow us at Facebook, also at Haunt Weekly. And definitely check out tinyurl.com/hauntweek. Take you to our YouTube channel, subscribe to us there, and go ahead and go through the entire archive of Haunt Weekly episodes. It's fun stuff.
Yes.
Thank you again for listening, and until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly episode number 112, doing the news for December and January. See you next week.